Welcome to the NTEB Radio Bible Study with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good evening, everybody, and happy Wednesday on this pre-Thanksgiving special edition of Rightly Dividing. My name is Jeff Greider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and tonight, for the next 2 hours, I have the honor and the privilege. I've been saying that for 10 years, and it is an honor and it is a privilege to be your radio host and Bible teacher. Tonight's topic, everything you've ever wanted to know about the coming 7-year time of Jacob's trouble, and a whole lot more. Understanding end times Bible prophecy correctly is one of the hardest things you can attempt to do with your King James Bible. Compared to that, getting saved and successfully determining your entire eternity is much easier than trying to unravel the end times timeline. Nevertheless, this is what we are called to do, and into the battle we go, to the fight. Luke 21:22. If you had to sum up the time of Jacob's trouble in a single verse, and there's many, many single verses which could do it rather nicely, this one is my favorite. Luke 21:22. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. On this episode of Rightly Dividing, we're not just looking at parts of the time of Jacob's trouble, highlights or key events. No, no. We are taking you from the very start of it in Revelation chapter 6 to the moment it gets terribly and wonderfully resolved in Revelation chapter 19. In the course of doing so, we will check in with Job, Jeremiah, Daniel, Isaiah, Zechariah, Amos, nearly all the apostles, and of course, the book of Revelation. The time of Jacob's trouble is a furious and delicate tapestry sprinkled over multiple millennia, and only the Holy Spirit, along with a very generous dose of 2 Timothy 2:15, will allow us to navigate these murky and troublesome waters as we take our journey. Be forewarned, there is danger around every corner. The age of grace is now done, and you will find yourself having to endure to the end if you want to be saved. You have to have faith, but you're only as good as your works. And the strong delusion has saturated every molecule of air you breathe and every drop of water you drink. Think you can make it? Well, come along with us on this very special episode of Rightly Dividing and see how good you do in the time of Jacob's trouble. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy, Lord. We thank you for all these that you've gathered here, and for the hundreds listening live and the thousands who will listen in the archives. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. We commit this time to you. And we ask you, Lord, as we open up your scripture of truth, by your Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth. And Father God, I love to go through your word. Everybody here loves to go through your word, or we wouldn't be here. And we just ask you to meet with us yet again this evening, Lord, and wash us clean of every sin, and draw us close to yourselves, Lord, and give us something new and fresh from your word. And we ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome, everybody. So glad that you are here tonight. I know that tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and you know, you would think you would think that we would be kind of slowing it down over here and taking it easy, but we're not doing anything of the kind. Mudflower has been very, very busy all week long. The ladies at the bookstore have been working overtime to accomplish the shipping and the orders, and all the people that come into the bookstore that want to pray and talk, and it's just such a blessing. And I've been a little bit busy over here in the studio as well. We have a lot going on, And so let me get you up to speed real quick. Had a great phone call yesterday with Brother David Daniels. And if you know anything about Chick Tracks, if you know anything about Chick Publications, they are the premier creator and publisher of gospel tracks. And I remember reading my very first Chick track about a year and a half before I got saved. And everybody just about has a Chick track story. I was talking with David Daniels, and he's the one that Jack Chick personally handpicked to continue the creation, the drawing, and the storyboards for the gospel tracks. And he's been with Chick Publications for 22 years. And he called me up on the phone yesterday, and he told me he's been reading Now the End Begins for quite some time. And I was very, very pleased to hear that. And we got to talking. I invited him to come on to our sit-down podcast. We had started doing them a couple of months ago, but then I got busy and I was traveling and I went all over the place. But now, hopefully, my traveling is done for a while, and we can get back to doing the Wednesday afternoon sit-down podcast, which I really, really love to do. So I invited Brother Daniels to come on to the podcast, and he said, yes, mark your calendars next Wednesday, noon Eastern Standard Time. We are going to have a 90-minute sit-down with Brother David Daniels from Chick Publications, the person who handpicked to take over the gospel tracks after Jack Chick went home to be with the Lord. So please, you're not going to want to miss that. Mark your calendars. And it's going to be 1 week from today, noon Eastern time. And I hope it will be a blessing to everybody. Now, also, mark your calendars for this Friday, the day after tomorrow. While everybody else is having a Black Friday sale, and I can appreciate having a good sale, and I love to take advantage of good sales, but we don't have a Black Friday sale here because that's a little bit too dark for our tastes. We want something that will glorify the Lord. So what we do is, instead of having Black Friday, we have Blessed Friday, and it's going to be a really, really, really big sale and a really good sale. So if you've been waiting for a time to get that book, that Bible, whatever it is that you've been looking for, check out our Blessed Friday sale. It's going to be 24 hours on Friday, and I think we have about 70 different items that are going to be from 15% to 25% to 50%, and we really, really, really have put just about everything on sale. Now, the one thing that I will tell you is that because of Cyber Monday, what we decided to do, if you don't see like the Ruckman commentaries or certain Bibles that you're looking for, if you don't see them on the Blessed Friday sale, that's because they are going to be on the Cyber Monday sale. So if you've been waiting for a time to get Bibles, commentaries, gifts, accessories, DVDs, CDs, whatever it is that we sell that you've been looking for, the big sale is going to be Friday, and then the Cyber Monday sale, and that's going to have some really, really good stuff there as well. So check out the Blessed Friday sale and the Cyber Monday sale, and we really want that to be a blessing to you. It drives my accountant crazy, but I like to tell them that we are a ministry first and we're a business second. I just want to read, I'm not going to say who wrote this email to me, but I got an email about 2 hours ago, and this is what this is what they said to me. They were looking to get some gospel tracts. They wanted to make a donation, but they could not afford the shipping. And I just said to them, no donation required. Please give me your shipping address, and we will be thrilled to send you a box of 300 NTEB gospel tracts. No strings attached to that. And that was a blessing to the person who's going to receive it. They are very, very glad that I told them that we would do that. But look, let me tell you something. We've gone past 92,000 Bibles. I haven't written about it yet, but let me tell you what we just did yesterday. Bible Literature and Missionary Foundation is getting ready to ship out 15,000 Arabic Bibles to the country of Lebanon. 15,000 Arabic King James Bibles are being ready to be shipped to the nation of Lebanon. And we just purchased 2,000 of those 15,000 Bibles. They needed some help to get that shipment out there. So we are now at 94,000 Bibles with this order of 2,000 Bibles to Lebanon that we just bought yesterday. And I'm excited by that. And I'm thrilled by that, actually. It makes me 10 times happier to give away a Bible than it does to sell a Bible. I understand if we don't sell some Bibles, we're going to go out of business. I get that. But that's really the Lord's concern. He's called us to stand in the gap and send out Bibles and send out gospel tracts. And that's what he's called us to do. So the way I look at it, it is God's responsibility to make sure that the bills get paid, that we can pay the rent, that we can pay the lights, that I can pay the employees. That's God's responsibility. And so with that, we are shipping out 2,000 Bibles to the nation of Lebanon. There's a lot of Christians there, and there's a work that is happening in the Middle East, and you and I are a part of that work, and I'm just so excited. Aren't you excited to be on the front lines of the end times in the Lord's harvest field? Don't you really want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord"? Look, we're sealed into the day of redemption. You couldn't lose your salvation if you tried. But there's a huge difference between the Lord looking at you and saying, "Well done," and "Well done." There's a enormous difference between those two statements. And I don't know about you, but I want to hear the Lord, when he looks at me, say, "Well done." I want to hear the Lord, when he looks at each and every one of you, say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And that's what we're working for here. That's what it's all about. And that's what we did last Saturday. And we handed out those gospel tracts. And it was great. And everybody had such a good time. And everybody got a blessing. And tonight we are going to pray again that the Lord will give us some fruit from all those seeds that we've planted. If you're just tuning in tonight, it is the entire end times timeline of the time of Jacob's trouble. And I'm going to give you some new stuff tonight. I'm going to give you some stuff that perhaps you have not considered. So if you've come into this Bible study expecting to hear Larkin and Ruckman and Schofield and a bunch of others just kind of spat back at you, you're not going to hear that. You're going to hear, when I study, I ask God to give me some fresh meat. I ask God to give me some fresh hot bread. I can absolutely appreciate the labors of the brothers and sisters who have labored in the field before me. But like every one of those laborers, Larkin stood before the Lord and said, Lord, what would you have for me to do? Moody stood in the shadow of George Whitefield, and God gave Moody something brand new to do. And so tonight, we are going to go a little bit off the beaten path tonight, and we're going to look at the end times timeline of the time of Jacob's trouble. I'm so glad that you're here tonight.
Bo ruach Elohim umale nafshi adrech otanu kiyeladim rak becha nu chafetzim anachnu mazminim otcha lavo. Come, Holy Spirit, come, come and fill us now, for you are welcome in this place, show your mercy and your grace, come and fill us, Holy Spirit, come.
Thank you.
In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, Paul says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." The Apostle Paul, he's comparing and contrasting a topic that he'll be picking up in Thessalonians chapter 2, the day of Christ and the day of the Lord. We are waiting for his Son from heaven. We are waiting for Jesus Christ. We are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That is what we look for every single day. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. 95.7% of this entire world is not looking for Jesus Christ. They are not waiting for God's only begotten Son from heaven to come pull them up into the clouds. The vast, overwhelming majority of this world are waiting for Antichrist, and they are waiting for another Jesus. On The View on Monday, legal analyst and co-host Sonny Hostin remarked that if Jesus was on the earth right now, he would be the grand marshal at the Pride Parade. Now, I understand if that makes you mad. I get it. But it should make you sad too. And it should want to make you to redouble your efforts to get the gospel out, to hand out gospel tracts, to witness on the street corner, to preach and teach the gospel of the grace of God while we still have an open door. And maybe the vast majority of these people have already made up their mind, but, and turn to the book of Jude, here and there, there's one or two people that you can grab and you can pull out of the fire. Jude chapter 1, starting in verse 21. Jude 1:21. "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." You know, you and I, Brother Tillis, he likes to refer to me as special forces and leading a team of special forces. That's you guys. And they send the special forces in for rescue operations. And that's what you and I have been called to do. We are those special forces that God sends in on rescue operations with the gospel of the grace of God. This is what we are called to do. We are called to stand in the gap. And whosoever will. And we are called to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that his house may be full. Just one more soul.
weary, the singers are tired. The church, as we know it, is losing its fire. And some are discouraged from bearing the load. But we must determine to keep pressing on. Cause it's just one more soul were to walk down the aisle. It would be worth every struggle. It would be worth every mile. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all. If it rescues just one more soul. So preachers keep preaching, and singers go sing, and laymen keep sharing that Jesus is King. The angels have gathered, they're surrounding the throne, and they'll start rejoicing for just one more soul. Cause it's just one more soul we're to walk down the aisle.
Savior's love.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, that we can gather together as a church family. And Lord, we lift up Annetta today. Lord, she's doing better. She's getting better. Lord, we ask you to give her a complete healing and get her out of that wheelchair. And we also pray for her husband's salvation. Robert Wiley is battling ALS disease, and we're praying for him. Amanda Mathias, she is still sick, and we're still praying. Marriages, we're praying for Stephanie and Andy. We're praying for Cephas and his wife, Angela and Jeff. We're praying for Bianca and Derek. And the Lord knows the needs in all those different situations. Karen Robinson would like prayers for her dad who had a stroke a couple of weeks ago. Dale Parks needs a healing from bladder cancer. Elena Blackburn, well, she's wonderfully pregnant, and we're praying that she'll be able to carry full term and give birth to a healthy baby. Boy or girl, it doesn't matter. We're praying for Kathy Kelly. Her sister-in-law, Donya, has been diagnosed with cirrhosis of the liver, and Kathy's husband, Dennis, may be called on to donate a portion of his liver. Stacy Bunton, we're praying for good news about possible breast cancer and prayers for her husband's salvation. Shauna is asking for prayers of discernment and God's blessing for her and her sister to move here to Florida. Lori Ann is in the closing stages, the final stages of closing on a house, and we're praying that the Lord would continue to oversee that whole process. Jeanette's cousin Andrew just had a stroke. He needs prayer. Rob Beatty's colon cancer has come back, and we're praying for him. Dina Kruger, I checked in with her today. She still has bronchitis. She says it's settled in her chest, and she's so grateful that we're praying for her. Ashley needs prayer. She needs to get saved. She's pregnant and she's addicted to meth. God can absolutely fix all of those things that she's dealing with. God can fix it so she gives birth to a healthy baby, that she beats her addiction and she gets saved. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Donna requests prayer for friends Amanda and Mark and baby Madison, who was born premature. Lulu is asking prayers for her friend Jimmy Lou and her son. They have COVID and they're very sick. Joe and Linda Lapinia, we're praying for their family. God's blessing on their family. The Lord knows the need. At North City Baptist Church, Pastor Oliver's wife is not feeling well, and we're praying for her. Marie Comfort, if you're listening, Rapture Ready, you and I have a date tomorrow, and I'm very much looking forward to it. Marie Comfort, just praying for strength for her. Trisha, she's been dealing with the remnants of a bad tooth infection, and she started taking antibiotics today or last night, I can't remember which, but we're praying that the Lord gives her a complete healing. We have a couple of praise reports today. Mike Hensel, he's been doing stem cell treatments on his knee. He called me up the other day, and surgery is no longer needed for his knee. Amen. Trisha has a praise report. Her son-in-law, Levi Blackburn, has made the rank of E5 today, and that is a blessing, and he's the dad of the baby that's in Elena Blackburn's womb right now. So that's kind of coming full circle there. And then listen to this praise report. You know how we pray for Rita from Colorado? She's been ministering to her sister in Stillwater, Minnesota. And Rita told me that her sister's going to be listening tonight. And Ginny, if you're listening, you have thousands of people who are praying for you. Thousands of people. And we are so glad with what Rita said. Rita sent me a text message the other day, and she said, I have now been with my sister and her family in Stillwater, Minnesota for almost a month. She has Alzheimer's, and we are all pitching in so she can stay in her home. That's what families do. They take care of each other. Rita says that she has six children, and they're all taking turns caring for her. That's what I did for my mom, and that's what I did for my dad. And what a blessing that that is. And Rita said, I'm able to share the Lord with her as I tell her of all the wonderful things that Jesus did when he was with us those many years ago. And Rita said, today I led my sister in a prayer to receive Jesus Christ. And she says, I am blessed to be able to be here with her as she continues on the last days of her journey. And her sister's name is Ginny. Ginny Glover is her sister's name. And we've been talking a lot lately about moving some of those salvation requests on our big Sunday list over to the praise report column. And we talked about that just a couple of days ago. And then yesterday, Rita messages me and said, my sister just prayed to get saved. And what a blessing that is. Ginny, if you're listening, Ginny, we love you. We'll probably never meet on this earth, but we look forward to seeing you in heaven. And so glad that you have a sister like Rita, who shows what a life in Jesus Christ is all about. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. God, you were so good to us. And Lord, please hear our prayers. Rudana says, I've developed a sudden chest cough today. Please pray. Jeffrey Sapasinek up in Canada. I've been feverish, experiencing chills and hot flashes and shortness of breath. Pray for healing. We're absolutely thrilled to pray for you, brother. Hang in there. Don't lose hope. Your church family, we've got you covered, brother. Mia in Texas, please put my husband, Chris, on the prayer list for his welding small business needs customers. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Kenny B. says, praying for family and friends to get saved in an unspoken. And please help that the Lord, please pray that the Lord would help my family to let go of fear and worry and anger. Jeanette says, praise report. Pray for my mom. She is coming home from the nursing home. She is scared but happy. Amen. May the Lord calm her fears and continue to give her strength, and we rejoice with you. Blaine says, please pray that God opens a door soon so I can get into government-assisted housing. There's a place I want to go, but the Lord will have to open the door. And the Lord always does, brother. If he doesn't open it, it doesn't get opened. And we are very happy to continue to pray for you and look forward to the praise report. His Grace says, please pray for my brother-in-law, Earl. His cancer is taking him down. Shannon, prayers for protection, wisdom, and grace for me and everyone at the NTEB ministry team. Papa Tassin, please pray for Melissa in Louisiana. Amen. The Lord knows the need. Marie Sim, please pray for my dear friend Sandy, who is struggling with depression. She is saved. Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we ask you to work and move as only you can, Father God. And Lord, we ask you to heal, we ask you to reconcile, we ask you to restore, we ask you to preserve and protect and guide and guard. And Lord, set hedges of protection about each and every one of us and the works of our hands that you've given us to do. And Lord, for all the new listeners that we've had lately and the new prayer requests coming in, we lift them up to you. For the praise reports, we thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I know especially with Rita in Colorado, she has such a heart for her family and for her sister and for her, I want to say brothers and sisters, and I'm not really sure the whole family hierarchy, but the times that I've spoken with her, she has such a heart and a love for her family. And now she's ministering on the field where God has called her, and I love to see it. And Lord, hear our prayers, receive our praise, for you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, if you're just tuning in, we are going over the end times timeline of the time of Jacob's trouble. So if I could ask you guys, if it be possible, if you could hold the questions until the bottom of the hour. It is 7:44 Eastern Standard Time. If you could just, if you have a question, just write it down and hold it until 8:30 Eastern Time. Because I have so much that I have to talk about. And as I told you at the start of the broadcast, we're going to do it a little bit differently tonight. I don't want to simply give you the same stuff that you get all the time. I don't want to take out my Larkin chart. I don't want to take out my Ruckman chart. I love those charts. I use those charts. Don't get me wrong. But I want to give you something fresh tonight. I want to give you something, I don't want to say new, because obviously it's not new, but I want to give you a different take on it. I don't want to just give you the same old thing. I like to give, you know, you want bread. There's nothing wrong with day-old bread if that's all that you have, and eat it, take it, and praise the Lord for it. But man, oh man, there's nothing like hot, fresh bread on the counter. So that's what we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 24. Turn to Matthew chapter. Well, no. Skip that. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 22. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 22. You know, a lot of the times when I'm talking about the time of Jacob's trouble, a lot of the times people don't really grasp what the time of Jacob's trouble actually is. So let's set the table by showing you from the scripture what the time of Jacob's trouble actually is. Now, there's many places that we could go, but Jeremiah is the prophet of Babylon, and he is the one that is appointed to teach Daniel what's going on. So, for my money, he's about the best place to start. Let's read Jeremiah 22, verses 5 through 9. Jeremiah 22, verses 5 through 9. But if ye will not hear these words, I swear by myself, saith the Lord, that this house shall become a desolation. For thus saith the Lord unto the king's house of Judah, thou art Gilead unto me in the head of Lebanon, yet surely will I make thee a wilderness and cities which are not inhabited. And I will prepare destroyers against thee, every one with his weapons, and they shall cut down thy choice cedars and cast them into the fire. And many nations shall pass by this city, Jerusalem, And they shall say every man to his neighbor, wherefore hath the Lord done thus unto this great city? Then they shall answer, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord, their God, and worshipped other gods, and served them. Jeremiah 22:9, I understand historically, Jeremiah is prophesying about the Babylonian captivity, but prophetically, this is the reason for the time of Jacob's trouble. Verse 9 says, then they shall answer, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord their God and worshipped other gods and served them. You know, when you got saved, I want you to think about this now. When you got saved, you were judged, you were found guilty, and you were sentenced to eternity in hell. That's what happened on the day that you got saved. You came to the cross. You saw the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, making atonement for your sin, dying in your place, shedding God's blood to pay the ransom that would set you free. And when you got saved, you came to understand that you were a dead man walking. And you were judged and found guilty. And you accepted the payment that Jesus made on your behalf. You were saved, born again, and put into the body of Christ. That's how everybody in the church age gets saved. But what do you do for the people who reject the gospel in the church age, and now they find themselves in the time of Jacob's trouble? Jacob's trouble is judgment. Daniel 9. Turn to Daniel chapter 9. The time of Jacob's trouble is God's judgment, primarily on the Jewish people. Daniel 9:24, 70 weeks, that's 490 years, are determined upon thy people, the Jewish people, and upon thy holy city, Jerusalem, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. This is not Jesus bringing salvation on the cross. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, not the whole world, the Jewish people, and upon thy holy city. That's not New York City. That's not Washington. That's not London. That is Jerusalem, Israel. And what are they doing? They are finishing the transgression. The transgression is the transgression of the Jewish people against Jehovah God. And just as the 70 years in Babylon was a type of that, the time of Jacob's trouble will finish it in a wonderful double application of prophecy. Turn to Zechariah chapter 13. Turn to Zechariah chapter 13. Let's look at verses 8 and 9. This is what's going to happen to the Jewish people. Yes, Gentiles will be involved. There's no question. But the time of Jacob's trouble is, it is a time to finish the transgression of the Jewish people against their God. Zechariah chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire and refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. They don't say that in Israel now. They don't say, the Lord is my God. There's no king in Israel. Turn to Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48. Let's look at verses 10 and 11. We are looking at the reasons for the time of Jacob's trouble. It is primarily directed at the Jewish people. Isaiah 48, verses 10 and 11. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Why? For mine own sake. Even for mine own sake will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. People write to me all the time and they say, Brother, why do you stand up for the Jewish people? Don't you know that Tel Aviv is the LGBT capital of the world? And don't you know that third-term abortions are happening all the time in the nation of Israel? And I say, yeah, I'm well aware of all those things. And that's why they're going to go through the time of Jacob's trouble, because they are far from God. And God is just and right and holy. And in order to bring about their salvation, if they reject the Messiah in the church age, then they have to go through the time of Jacob's trouble. Turn to Jeremiah 19, and I'll show you some very sobering verses. Very sobering verses. Jeremiah 19, verses 16 through 19. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they will fish them. And after will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill and out of the holes of the rocks. For mine eyes are upon all thy way, for mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. Underline this, and first I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double, because they have defiled my land. God is going to judge Israel. He is going to judge Jerusalem. He is going to judge the Jewish people. He's not done with them, but they've got to be judged. They've got to go through Jacob's trouble. God says, I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double, because they have defiled my land. They have filled mine inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things. O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction. The Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth and say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. This is why the Jews are going to go through the time of Jacob's trouble. Look at the first part of that verse, Jeremiah 19:16. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. What does Jesus say to the disciples? Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And for the last 2,000 years, the gospel has been preached, and the gospel has been going forth, and they have been wooed and preached to and preached at. Jeremiah says, I will send for many fishers and they shall fish them. But then, after, will I send for many hunters and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill and out of the holes of the rocks. The world watched in horror at the Nazi Holocaust of World War II. And for 7 years, from 1938 to 1945, the Jews were hunted, and they were rounded up and put into ghettos and put on trains and brought to places like Sachsenhausen and Auschwitz and Bergen-Belsen and Ravensbrück. And that's exactly what Jeremiah was talking about. God says, I will send for many fishers, and they'll fish after you. But if you reject the fishers, then I'm going to send the hunters. And we saw that midway through the 20th century. We saw the hunters coming after the Jewish people in ways that this world had never, ever experienced before. The horrors of the Holocaust. And over in Russia under Stalin, 20 million Jews were slaughtered under Stalin. 20 million Jews were slaughtered under Stalin. 6 million Jews were slaughtered under Adolf Hitler. And this is what Jeremiah was talking about when he says, "And after will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain." So, if you want to understand what the time of Jacob's trouble is, it is a time period of judgment ordained by God primarily to fall upon his chosen people, to put them through the fire, to judge them, to refine them, and then to save them. Now, if you're Jewish, you can avoid that entire time by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jewish Messiah, right here and right now. If you're Jewish and you don't want to go through that horrific time of Jacob's trouble, all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you get saved, you don't ever have to worry about the time of Jacob's trouble. Let's talk a tiny bit about what we're going to be doing in the next half hour. Now that we've set the table and you understand what Jacob's trouble is and why it has to be, how much time does the church spend in the time of Jacob's trouble? No time at all. Not one day, not 1 minute of one day do we spend in the time of Jacob's trouble. And we're going to talk about that in the next half an hour. And I'm going to show you what I call the 7 stone steps. Of the time of Jacob's trouble. This is something that the Lord gave me a couple of years ago. I don't know how deep it is. I don't know how profound it is. But I trust that it will be a blessing to you. And when we come back, I'm going to give you the 7 stone steps of the time of Jacob's trouble when we come back.
Kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat and then onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The waves they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win, you never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth.
strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone. Surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win, you'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth.
Back for hour two of tonight's Bible study on the complete time of Jacob's timeline. If you were listening in the first half hour and you're not in the chat room, I mixed up the address on Jeremiah. It was not Jeremiah 19:16, it was Jeremiah 16:16. So if you're looking for those verses, it was Jeremiah 16, verse 16 through 19, and I hope that helps. All right, turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to go through what I call the seven stone steps. Now, why do I say stone steps? If you remember when you were a little kid and you would go down to the riverside, and I did this with my friends and family all the time, going down to the riverside as a child, and looking on the ground for flat rocks that you could take and that you could throw against the surface of the water and see how many times that you could skip that stone. So what I'd like to give you right now is the skipping of the seven stone steps that I believe will show you the entire end times timeline of the time of Jacob's trouble. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Let's look at verses 1 through 3. Matthew 24, verses 1 through 3. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, and we read about that in Mark 13:13, the disciples came to him privately saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? So, if you want to understand this time period that takes place after the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, you have to understand that Jesus is about to answer three distinct questions that Peter, James, John, and Andrew had for him to answer. When will the temple be destroyed? What shall be the sign of thy coming? And of the end of the world? Now, at a minimum, these events cover a 1,007-year period of earth time. The end of the world takes place in Revelation chapter 20. We understand that. The sign of his coming is Revelation chapter 19. We understand that. And we also understand that the Jewish people had to be judged, the time of Jacob's trouble, and that's what the destruction of the temple represents. It represents the coming time of Jacob's trouble. So, Peter, James, John, and Andrew are asking three questions. Three questions. So, look down in verse 15. And I'm purposely skipping verses 4 through 14. I am purposely skipping this because I'm going to come back to it. Look down in verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. All right? So, the reason why I'm starting with this verse first is because here Jesus is telling you to go to the Old Testament, go check in with the prophet Daniel, and see what Daniel has to say. And the context of verse 15 in Matthew 24 is the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place. The holy place is the holy of holies in the temple. And that's why in parentheses it says, Whoso readeth, let him understand. When this happens, the Jews are going to flee to the Red Rock city of Sela Petra. So, let's go from Matthew 24:15 and let's go to Daniel 9:27. Daniel 9:27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. I have had a number of people tell me recently, and when I say recently, I mean in the last 6 months, that the he of Daniel 9:27 is talking about Jesus Christ. Let me show you why that cannot possibly be. Daniel 9:25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. So, the reason why Daniel breaks out those weeks into 7 weeks and 62 weeks, he's showing you two different things. They're going to be 49 years in the building of Jerusalem. They're going to be 49 years in the building of Jerusalem. And then there's going to be 343 years when those 49 years are up. 434 years later, that's 62 weeks. That's going to bring you to Messiah the Prince. And then Daniel 9:26 says, and after 62 weeks, or and after 434 years, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and on to the end of the war desolations are determined. Now, I want you to look at verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And you see that there's a colon right after the word himself. When Jesus made his triumphal entry riding on a donkey, and they said, praise, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And he was received as Messiah. He was received as a prince. And then 7 days later, he was crucified. He was cut off. And that's exactly why you see, but not for himself, colon. Everything that comes after the colon is now talking about Antichrist. Everything that comes after the colon is now talking about the people of the prince that shall come. Not the Messiah, but the Antichrist. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. That's the flood from Revelation 12. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. That is Revelation 16:16. And he gathered them together to battle in a place that is called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. So the switch happens at the colon. Daniel 9:26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, colon. And now everything that Daniel was saying in verse 25, the first part of 26, is done. And now Daniel is switching. And he says, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Who were the people that put him on the cross? It was the Roman people. The Jewish people called for it, but the Roman people carried it out. Who were the people that destroyed the temple in 70 AD? It was the armies of the Emperor Titus from Rome. So the people of the prince that shall come, that's Rome. That's Revelation 17. That's Revelation 18. And then the rest of verse 26 is now taking you, keep your finger in Daniel, and turn to Revelation chapter 12. Turn to Revelation chapter 12. I'll show you that flood. Revelation chapter 12, verses 13 through 16. Revelation 12, 13 through 16. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. The woman is Israel. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time, times, and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood, after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Go back to Daniel 9:26. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the war, the end of the war, desolations are determined. Do you see that? Okay, so when you get to Daniel 9:27, he's still talking about Antichrist, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. This is a 7-year period. None of this time period took place when Jesus walked the earth. These things did not happen. There was no flood when Jesus walked the earth. The temple and the sanctuary was not destroyed when Jesus walked the earth. There was no war taking place. There were no desolations when Jesus walked the earth. What did, remember when John the Baptist, remember when John the Baptist sent two of his men to Jesus and said, "Are you the one, or should we look for another?" Remember that? Turn to Luke chapter 7. Turn to Luke chapter 7. Let's look at verses 20 through 23. Luke chapter 7, verses 20 through 23. When the men were come unto him, they said, "John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, "Go your way, and tell John what things ye have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. To the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." That is what took place when Jesus walked the earth. None of these things in Daniel 26, 9:26 and 9:27, none of these things took place. So, you cannot say that the 3.5-year ministry of Jesus Christ fulfilled the first 3.5 years of the time of Jacob's trouble, because none of the things of Jacob's trouble took place when Jesus was there. Miracles took place when Jesus was there. So, Daniel 9:27, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease." Okay, so that is stone number one. We started at Matthew 24:15, and we skipped to Daniel 9:27. Now go up to the top of the page, and let's look at Daniel 9, verses 1 and 2. Daniel 9, verses 1 and 2. "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem." So I want you to see what we have uncovered so far. We started in Matthew chapter 24. Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked the Lord 3 separate and distinct questions. Jesus then begins to give them a timeline. And then this unprecedented event takes place. The abomination that makes desolate appears in the temple. And Jesus said, "I want you to go find this matching verse in Daniel, We found that verse in Daniel 9:27. But when we get to the top of chapter 9, we see what Daniel was doing before the angel Gabriel gave him that vision. He was reading the book of Jeremiah. Daniel 9:2 says, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. So let's go see Jeremiah the prophet. Jeremiah chapter 29. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. And let's look at verses 10 and 11. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 and 11. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. What is the expected end of the Jew? It is their kingdom inheritance in the nation of Israel. That's what all Jewish people have been waiting for. Their expected end is Luke 1:32. Keep your finger in Jeremiah 29 and turn to Luke 1:32. This is what the Jewish people are waiting for. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. That's what the Jew is waiting for. That is the expected end of Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And that is the expected end that the Jewish people get. Now, go to Jeremiah chapter 30. God says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. But first, Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 1 through 4. Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 1 through 4. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and Judah. And now look at the very next thing that happens in verses 5 through 7. Jeremiah 30, 5 through 7. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Before we go further, let's recap. Matthew 24:15, we skip the stone and go to Daniel 9:27. From there, we skip the stone. We go to Daniel 9:2. We skip to Jeremiah 29:11. We skip to Jeremiah 30, 5 through 7. Remember, this is the logical path when Jesus said in Matthew 24:15, go read the book of Daniel. Well, I did that. I found the verse that matched Matthew 24:15. It was Daniel 9:27. And then I noticed, huh, Daniel was doing a Bible study in Jeremiah. And so I went to Jeremiah, and I noticed, huh, Jeremiah is actually telling Daniel how long they're going to be in Babylonian captivity for, and not only how long, Jeremiah tells Daniel why they are in Babylonian captivity. Jeremiah looks at this and he calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. Go back to Daniel 9. Daniel just had his Bible study with Jeremiah. He gets a visit from the angel Gabriel. And what is he left with? He is left with the last unfinished week of Daniel's 70th week, a 7-year time period. Now turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Does that sound like something to you? Doesn't that sound exactly like what we just read in Jeremiah 35 through 7? Where Jeremiah is using the figure of a woman giving birth, the travail of a woman giving birth, and Paul just happens to pick that up and apply that to the day of the Lord? Well, now we've come full circle. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and then we'll set the stage for what we're going to talk about in the next half hour. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look down in verse 8 through 11. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 8 through 11. And then shall that wicked be revealed, that's Antichrist, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. When we get back from this break, I'm going to show you exactly and definitively what the strong delusion actually is. The Bible is very, very clear. The Bible is very, very clear as to what the strong delusion actually is. But what I've just given you, I have given you by using the analogy of somebody standing by the riverbank and skipping stones. Jesus said, if you want to know about Antichrist, you got to go see Daniel. You go see Daniel, and Daniel is having a Bible study with Jeremiah. Jeremiah is prophesying about Babylonian captivity and the time of Jacob's trouble. Paul directly references Jeremiah 35 through 7 and attaches it to the day of the Lord. And then Paul says, God is going to send something called the strong delusion. And when we get back from this break, I'm going to show you what the strong delusion is, how long it lasts for, and where it takes place on the end times timeline. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. Well, I'll die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
Aren't you so glad to be waiting for Jesus Christ and not Antichrist? Get ready to fly, church, because we're going to go. An oldie but goodie. Haven't played that one in a while. And that one goes out to Amanda and Mike in South Florida. And thank you for requesting that. All right, let's get into our last half hour of tonight's topic. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about the 7-year time of Jacob's trouble. Now, during the break, during the musical break, Rudy in the chat room said, and I'm trying to pull up his exact quote so I don't misquote. Here it is. Rudy said this while that song was playing. There are no clear scripture that defines the exact period of Jacob's trouble. The last 3.5 years makes far more sense using Scripture. So let's talk about that for a moment, because that's part of what we need to talk about tonight. While it is true that the Bible, turn to Daniel chapter 12, turn to Daniel chapter 12. While it is true that Old Testament, New Testament, the majority of the Scripture is devoted to the time of the Great Tribulation, which is the last 3.5 years. I will concede that point, but I will not concede that the first 3.5 years are not spoken about at all. And there's enough evidence in the Scripture for us to put those things together, which we'll do right now. Turn to Daniel chapter 12, and let's read verses 4 through 9. Daniel chapter 12, verses 4 through 9. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time 1 year, times 2 years, and in half a half a year. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard and I understood not, but then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Now turn to Revelation chapter 5, and I really need you guys to pay attention, because I'm going to throw a lot at you, but you're going to love it. Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book, Daniel's book, written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open the book and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a Lamb. This is Jesus Christ, as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. So Daniel is given a book of prophecy that he really doesn't understand. And then he is told to seal the book until the time of the end. Revelation chapter 5 is the time of the end. Revelation chapter 5, Daniel's book is opened. But remember, Daniel's book covers a 7-year time period. Do not be confused by hearing time, times, and half a time. That is specifically talking about the last half. But Daniel was given a prophecy that must take place over 7 years. Now, let me show you this. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's take a look at the rapture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verses 1 through 3. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ, that's the rapture of the church, is at hand. Paul says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, the rapture of the church, shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, comma, the rapture, hello, the son of perdition. And when he arrives, verse 4, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, if Jeanette could post 2 Thessalonians 2:4 and Matthew 20:15 together, give me Matthew 24:15 on top and give me 2 Thessalonians 2:4 on the bottom. And I want to show you, I want you to see it for yourself. Matthew 24:15 on top, 2 Thessalonians 2:4 on the bottom. Jeanette's going to post that into the chat room. And I want you to see the beautiful harmony between these two verses. Matthew 24:15 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. And as soon as she posts that into the chat room, I will comment on that. But let's continue reading in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Go down to verse 8. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, capital W, this is Antichrist, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Okay? She just posted those two verses in the chat room. I want you to see the direct connection. Jesus says in Matthew 24:15, when ye shall see the abomination of desolation, stand in the holy place. Paul says, you want to see him standing in the holy place? I'll show you him standing in the holy place. 2 Thessalonians 2:4. 2 Thessalonians 2:4. Now, let's keep reading in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And Rudy just posted the classic post-toasty Bible verse. And we will look at that in just a minute. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, 2 Thessalonians 2:11, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Now, we're talking about the strong delusion. Turn to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. Take a look at what the first seal is. Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. This is the start of the time of Jacob's trouble. This is not the seven-headed, ten-horned red dragon. This is Antichrist being presented to the Jewish people as their Messiah. This is the strong delusion. The strong delusion is that Antichrist is Jesus Christ. Turn to Isaiah chapter 14. Turn to Isaiah chapter 14. Now, the Bible doesn't spend a whole lot of time talking about the strong delusion. God is not interested, overly interested, in talking about what he's going to allow Antichrist to do. Because Jesus is the one that opens the seals. So God's not wanting to spend a whole lot of time talking about the strong delusion. He mentions it. He gives you the cross references. You've got to go look it up. We're looking it up. We're finding it. But God picks up the action at the start of the Great Tribulation, because that's where God and Satan go head to head for 3.5 years. So the Bible doesn't spend a lot of time talking about the first 3.5 years, because that's the time period that Satan is allowed free reign. He can do whatever he wants to do. God is more concerned with the Great Tribulation. Now, look in Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Let's take a look at what Lucifer wants. Isaiah 14, 13. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. What does Antichrist want? He wants to rule and reign as king over Israel. He wants to rule and reign as a king over Israel. Turn to Luke chapter 4. Turn to Luke chapter 4. Let's look at verses 5 through 7. Luke chapter 4, 5 through 7. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Isn't it ironic that Satan is trying to tempt Jesus with the kingdom that was prepared for Jesus from before the foundation of the world? Why is Satan telling Jesus that these kingdoms have been delivered to him? Because they are going to be delivered to him. And when the Bible says that he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, you could very accurately say, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a 7-year period of time. In a 7-year period of time. And this is exactly what's happening in Luke chapter 4. So the strong delusion, nobody is deluded in the Great Tribulation. In the time of the Great Tribulation, they are fleeing to the Red Rock city of Sela Petra. In the time of the Great Tribulation, they are looking at this red dragon. Nobody is Marky Mark is asking, when did the kingdoms get delivered to Satan? Turn to Isaiah chapter 28. Turn to Isaiah chapter 28. I'll show you when this takes place. Isaiah 28, verses 14 and 15. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people, which is in Jerusalem, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehoods have we hid ourselves. Now, look down in verse 21 and 22. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon. I'm reading the same thing. Verse 22. Now therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption, even determined upon the whole earth. Satan gets his power in Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. That is the start of the seven-year time of Jacob's trouble. The first 3.5 years, it is going to be the strong delusion that Antichrist is Jesus Christ. And he is going to fool the whole world. Revelation 13 says, and all the world wondered after the beast and said, who is like unto the beast and who can make war with him? But when he steps out, go back to Matthew 24. Go back to Matthew 24. When he steps out, the strong delusion is over. The strong delusion only lasts for a 3.5 year period. And during that time period, remember, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:3, and when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. When is there peace and safety in the great tribulation? There's not. There is no peace. There is no safety. The Jewish remnant is cowering in the Red Rock city of Sela Petra. The whole world is running from a seven-headed red dragon in Revelation 13, 14, 15, 16. Where is there peace and safety? There is peace and safety in the strong delusion that the phony Messiah has come to the earth to bring false peace and false prosperity. That's exactly what the strong delusion is. And it lasts for a 3.5 year time period. The Bible doesn't spend a lot of time talking about it, but if you connect all the verses that we've been talking about, if you connect all the verses that we've been talking about, then you understand that the devil for 6,000 years has been saying that he is going to have a kingdom, and God gives him that kingdom, and he allows the devil to deceive the world, and he pretends to be Jesus Christ during the time of Jacob's trouble. And so this is why we don't see the Bible talking a whole lot about the strong delusion. Because this is Satan and he's imitating Jesus Christ. This is why the new versions talk about being an imitator of Jesus Christ. The NIV, the ESV, it all talks about imitating Jesus Christ. You don't ever want to imitate Jesus Christ. That's what the devil does. You want to follow Jesus Christ. You want to pick up your cross daily and follow after him. You do not want to be an imitator of Jesus Christ. Rudy is saying that he's revealed as the false Messiah at the middle point. Well, that's, if you've been paying attention to what I've been saying, that's exactly what I said. He pretends to be the Messiah for 3.5 years, and in Matthew 24:15, the start of the Great Tribulation, he shows who he is, and he spends the rest of that time as the devil. The Antichrist is only going to be operating for the first 3.5 years. From the midpoint on, you are going to see a seven-headed red dragon. And that is exactly what Leviathan in the book of Job is talking about. That's exactly what the devil looks like. He looks like a seven-headed red dragon. And in Matthew 24:15, when the Antichrist sits in the Holy of Holies and he stands in the holy place, now we're going to see a seven-headed red dragon. We didn't have time for questions, and I'm seeing in the chat room that I possibly have given information overload, and I hope so, because this topic is a really, really important topic. Daniel 9:27 is not talking about Jesus Christ. That's not possible. It is also not possible that the first 3.5 years of the time of Jacob's trouble have already taken place. And let me just conclude with this one thought. The wrath of God does not start with the Great Tribulation. The wrath of God does not start with the Great Tribulation. The wrath of God starts with the strong delusion. Jericho is saying, how about a part two on this topic? I agree 1,000%. I've only gone through half of what I wanted to talk about tonight. But let me just leave you with this from Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2. The wrath of God begins with the strong delusion. And you want to see what God is doing during this time period? Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, talking about the time of Jacob's trouble. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. The time of Jacob's trouble is a seven-year period. The first half is the time of the strong delusion that Antichrist is Jesus Christ. Halfway through the seven-year period, Matthew 24:15, the Antichrist makes his move and the devil is revealed. And all during the time of the Great Tribulation, Satan is visibly operating in the world. And with that, we have absolutely run out of time. We've gone over time. Lord willing, we're going to do part two on Sunday night. But before that, Lord willing, we'll see you back here Friday, noon Eastern time, for another edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. And don't forget, we have our Blessed Friday sale 24 hours this Friday. I wish everybody, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a blessing to other people. If you have something to eat tomorrow, be glad and be grateful that the Lord has put something on your table. Make Thanksgiving a day where you count your blessings and say, Lord, thank you for being so good to me. Thank you, Father God, for being better to me than I deserve. Thank you, God, for giving me so many wonderful, good and perfect things. And just take the day tomorrow, no matter what. Look, last year, I spent my Thanksgiving Day at the Cracker Barrel, and I was glad to be there. I was glad to be there because God gave me something to eat, and he gave me people to talk to, and it was actually a pretty good day. So spend tomorrow, friends, family. If you don't have friends, if you don't have family, go out and tell somebody about Jesus. Have a great Thanksgiving, everybody. We'll see you Friday.
To the guy who left the pamphlet on the midnight Greyhound bus that asked me if I knew where I was going. To the late night TV preacher when I couldn't sleep a wink, reminding me there's peace for those who know him. To the kid who wore the t-shirt that said Elvis is cool, but Jesus is the one. When you see her, to the moon.